You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. My guest today is Ole Damgaard, receiver of the Prague Peace Prize in 2016. He is an author, international speaker, former journalist, and investigator who has dedicated the last 30 years of his life to researching many of the global conspiracies. His main focus has been to find out the truth about the assassinations of JFK, the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and John Lennon, plus the terror attacks of 9/11, Norway, Oklahoma City, and many more. He is also considered a world-leading expert on false flag operations and has been part of exposing several planned state-sponsored terror acts. He has written the following books: Coup d'etat in slow motion, part 1 and 2, Shadow of Tears, The Power Book, Remind Me, and is currently working on A Global Tour of Terror, part 1 and 2, The Elusive Enigma, and the book Guilty Victim. He is also busy with a series of documentaries aiming at exposing many of the false flag operations that are currently hitting modern society. He will have been, I think, a key speaker at the JFK Assassination Conference in Dallas, which was in November. And you can find out more on his website, which is www.lightonconspiracies.com. So let's welcome him back to the show now. Hi, Ole, how are you?
I'm doing absolutely super, thank you, Lance.
Oh, it's great to have you back. I'm just wondering, what are some of the most recent false flags that you've been researching and able to verify?
I tell you, as you know, it's really important not to jump to any conclusions, but after the year we just had, I mean, what can I say? Before we start, I would like to point out that please notice that when NATO have their big international exercises, naval and marine exercises and army exercises, you have often up to 14, 15 different countries taking part of it, NATO nations, including the US and so on. And so when you look at what I would like to suggest are NATO operations, combined with the Gladio network, combined with uses of Mossad, CIA, MI6, this is what we see when all of these attacks are happening in different countries. I would humbly suggest that they are coordinated, and I'm going to point out some strong links between them. And I mean, here there was a lot happening here, especially in Europe and also in the States before the elections in the U.S. Then when we came up to the magic date when it was all going to be decided or selected, whatever you want to think, there were no alleged terror attacks, nothing, quiet. And then just on the 19th of December, there we had three major attacks at the exact same time as Trump was sealed as the next president. I mean, more or less on the hour. So what are the chances that this is just a coincidence? Anyway, here in Europe, we had alleged truck massacre in Berlin, almost identical to the one that happened in Nice this summer, or they say happened in Nice this summer. We had a shooting in a mosque in Zurich, in Switzerland, and we had an assassination of the Russian ambassador in Ankara, in Turkey. And I would very much like to put major question marks to all of these. Then they were followed by, on New Year's Eve, there was alleged massacre in a nightclub in Istanbul. And then after that, there was an attack in Izmir in Turkey as well. And then we had a truck attack in Jerusalem. And I tell you, I would like to put big question marks to all of them, and I would be very happy to go into some details. And so during the program, I can just show out things that doesn't match up at all.
Well, one of the things that I know keeps these things from becoming more well-known is that they are global operations, and we usually don't even hear too much about the ones that happen in our own countries. So it's not surprising that most people don't piece these things together and make the connections. But a lot of people, like yourself, and who research your information and others who are putting it out there, have realized that this is part of a global operation that's designed and integrated with the New World Order. And it seems that NATO is a large part of that puzzle that is being pieced together.
It is, and it's based also, exactly like you say, the power structure behind this is the so-called New World Order. But the strategies they're using is the so-called the strategy of tension that was created in the 50s with CIA and other intelligence agencies that came together with NATO forces and came up with the idea of how to get normal people to accept more and more militarized control, surveillance, and so on. The only way to do that was by terror. I mean, the more fearful you have normal people, the better for them. So they have carried out since the late, the mid-50s, there have been masses of terror attacks in the Western world carried out by them. And a second operation, or the name of a second operation, is Operation Chaos, which has more or less the same thing. Random acts of violence that can just happen anywhere at any time. And the more, without any real motive, but just random, so that it can hit anyone at any time, the better for them. Because they want us in absolute terror, fear.
Yes. You know, I noticed in one of the recent shootings, I don't remember which one it was, but it was, I think, last week. Someone was shot, and it was a lone gunman thing. They said it was a lone gunman. And there was a person who spoke up and said, no, he saw three different shooters from different directions. And so that's a red flag right away for me. Whenever I see that there's a lone gunman involved in some kind of shooting, there are two things that I know are probably present. One is mind control and possibly drugs, and the other is that there are other shooters, that there's a purpose to that particular event that we can't see, and it isn't random, and it's not accidental. There are no accidents.
I would say that very, very rarely do they use mind control people to do the actual operation, the shooting itself. Mainly, if there are such a thing as a real shooting, not just a staged event, then they will use multiple shooters. I mean, hardened warriors, ice cold soldier that just carry it out. They carry out a massacre and so on. But when you have mind-controlled individuals, they are often the ones that take the fall afterwards, that goes in there. And as soon as you start hearing about a lone crazy guy, you have to alert it, because that the reason why they want him alone is because then by law there's no conspiracy. And then if he gets killed, which he does all the time, or commits suicide, or is suicidal, I call it, right afterwards, then there's no reason to look into this. It's just case closed, thank you folks, and goodbye. And the reason they want him crazy or a super fanatic is because then there's no motive except for the very obvious one, if you're a fanatic. So they want it easy and case closed as soon as possible so that we don't look into it. And then they carry them out in a series of attacks so that nobody really gets the chance to focus on one of them, because as soon as you start looking into it, boom, there's the next one, boom, there's the next one. Diversion, diversion, diversion.
Right, so. Right. Yes, it's amazing how clever it is, but then, in a way, part of the downfall, according to your research, is that they do use the same tactics and the same kinds of cameras and the same methods of filming in all of these, and some of the same crisis actors.
Yeah. And I tell you, you say it's very clever. I think it's totally boring. It's the same theme, the same exact bullet point list that they follow. I mean, they're just repeating. And I would also suggest that what we're seeing, especially here in Europe, is the same, like a unit, a terror unit that is traveling from country to country, consisting of, like you mentioned, crisis actors, directors, experts in explosives, marketing agencies, people that to control the group so that there are no leakages and so on. And then being transported from country to country, location to location in army planes to NATO or American air bases, and then transported on location in buses, where it's set up just like a shoot of a Coca-Cola commercial, where streets are closed off, where they're being prepared like for a couple of days with drills on location, which is also what normal people are being told, that there are drills there for our security and so on, and then carried out without any real effort to convince people where it happens. Their aim is to get this out through media, through the TV screens all over the globe. Terror, mm-hmm. terror.
Yeah.
And this is why I would say that many times they don't put a super effort into all the small details, because they know as soon as it's pumped out there in media, it just gets spread, and people buy it right, you know, they just swallow it without looking into it.
And then we fill in the details.
to look at these things with what I call Farmer Brown logic. 1 + 1 = 2. You know, look at the evidence. Who carried it out and who benefited? This is the thing. Who benefits? That's the thing you have to ask yourself all the time.
Have you done, I know that probably a lot of people are going to be wondering, who is behind the curtain in terms of designing and plan? I mean, there must be somebody that designs these events, but then who actually sits around the table and says, okay, we're going to do this, and this? Who are the people who actually are the ones who make the decisions to have these particular events? Or was the decision made and now it's just being carried out by various agencies that plan them out?
It depends on what level you're talking about, because at the absolute top of the power pyramid, I do not know who are right there up on the top. But then when it goes down to where the orders are carried out or the plans are made, we're down on a level where it's NATO, Mossad, CIA, MI6, they are there all the time.
Right.
And I'm a personal friend of Chip Tatum, who is a CIA whistleblower. He was a deep cover agent for 25 years. He was one of the pilots in the Iran-Contra scandal, flying drugs, weapons out of the States down to Nicaragua, Honduras, and so on, and then massive amounts of drugs back into to the States. He was also the commander of an secret hit team called Pegasus, under the direct control of George Bush Sr. Oh. And they carried out at least 17 hits in the Western world, Europe, around here, also other countries. He was during his career, he was also part of some of these false flag operations. And according to him, it's just like another day at the office. You know, they go there, they sit down. It's a plan. It's like, like if you have a marketing campaign about Coca-Cola or cornflakes or whatever,
right.
You put up like a timeline, a schedule, how are we going to do it? How are we going to persuade the consumers? How are we going to get them to buy more? Where do we need to focus? What do we need to? And so on. It's the same here, but their product is terror. It's fear porn that is being sold. And like I said, they're following the same. So I mean, I don't envy them, because it's almost like them having to make the same film 70 times over, but trying to change minor things in the whole film script so that we won't notice that they're connected. But if you haven't noticed, look at all the mass shootings, all the alleged terror attacks. They are following the exact same thing.
See? Yes. And it's interesting too, and that the evidence rarely backs up the explanation that we've been given. You know, 9-1-1 and the Pentagon and the plane falling, all of those things were explained in a certain way, and there was no evidence for those explanations.
But that is what I mean with Farmer Brown logic. You know, like, what are the chances that we spend millions and millions on CCTV equipment, putting them up everywhere? Every single step you take, you're being watched. Okay. Then when these things happen, suddenly they don't work.
Right.
It's standard. It was when Lady Diana, all 14 cameras before the tunnel, boom, stopped working. Pentagon, I mean, it's only the most protected building in the world.
Right.
And no footage whatsoever. And you accept it, we accept it. I mean, what are the chances that all of these cameras did not get a massive big plane crashing into it?
Right. Otherwise, what's the point of having them?
What's the point? And why don't you fire that company? Because it's the same. It's ICTS or ISTV. No, ISTC, I think it's called. It's an Israeli company that are more or less responsible for these CCTV cameras everywhere, in the airports, in the subway stations, and so on. And every single time, they do not work when they were really needed.
Yeah.
Why don't you fire that company and kick them out and get another company where the products really work? No, here instead they're being used even more. What does that tell you? Like in Nice, you know, where they said that there was a white truck that hit and killed 84 people this summer and injured 202 in Nice on the French National Day, even though there was no blood whatsoever, no blood on the truck, no dents, no nothing on it, and many, many other things that didn't match up at all. There were zero footage on the CCTV cameras, even though the truck was seen, observed in the city center, where it's not allowed to be, for 9 hours. Okay.
Huh.
And then no CCTV footage at all. And then the very next day, the authorities came in and just confiscated all of it. Why would they do that? Is that sort of like an authority that is there to care for you as a normal person, to make sure that such a horrific thing wouldn't happen again? Or is it the action of a criminal mind who is trying to cover their butt and get rid of evidence?
Well, I think you know what I think. The latter of the two is the truth.
Found logic. Why did the FBI come in right after 9/11 and confiscate all of the footage around Pentagon?
Where is it? We never got to see any of it.
Don't you think, as a citizen of the U.S., that you should have the right? You're paying these agencies. Should you have the right to see this terror attack that hit your country and where you have had to pay for multiple wars afterwards? You're pumping out money in all different directions based on these incidents. Should you not have the right to see at least the footage? But no, you're not.
No, we have no rights, according to them. And unfortunately, those agencies, all of those agencies, are operating far outside any laws that are made by man, because that's how they operate. They do not acknowledge those laws because they're exempt from them. They're way above and outside of any laws, unless it's the international courts, and even those don't really go very far towards the events that we're talking about, because those are all part of the global structure that's planning all these things out.
Yeah. I mean, this is, when you look at these operations, you need to understand that it's one part of the operation is what is happening on the location. So there's a mass shooting, there's an alleged terror attack, whatever it is. But part of it also is the investigation that follows. That investigation is only put there as a wall to stop anyone from really finding out the truth. These investigations are then followed by so-called commissions that will, you know, after a year or so, if we don't quit, if we don't just accept the official story and we keep, forcing them, give us answers, then they will elect a commission.
Right.
This commission has a fancy name, like, you know, the Freedom and Truth Reconciliation Commission or whatever. And they will then spend like a year building up documents, thousands of pages, saying absolute zero. And then in the meantime, in the newspaper, there will be all these articles about how hard they're working. And then after 1 year, they will come out and the report will say absolute zero. And then if we don't accept and if we're not bored to tears by then, they will just elect another commission.
Right.
Look into the first commission.
Yeah.
Not into the crime itself. After the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, we had three different commissions. Actually four, you know, and they would just keep putting them there until people just don't care anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, the cards are stacked, and we're not going to be able to win that hand when we're going through the usual channels. So these commissions are all stacked with people who are paid and coerced into coming up with a preset conclusion, and you can know from the moment it starts that any pertinent evidence that would lead you to connect some truths is not going to be included, and all of the bullshit is going to be in the report.
Do you know, I've spent like 3 decades of my life like this. I have never approached any of the official investigations of anything for,
right.
Or looking or asking them for, or, you know, expected to get any type of truth from them.
Right.
On the contrary, I am very aware of them, because one of the jobs for these investigations is to target people like myself. If we get too nosy or start digging too deep, then they're the ones that direct these so-called cleaners, that takes care of, so suddenly you're found in the bathtub fully dressed, dead, or hit and run or something like that. So you have to be aware of them. And these commissions and investigations, you will see when you see over the years, you will see the same people appearing in different commissions. They just change positions inside of them. So one is chairman there and secretary in another one. Then there's an air crash that is very suspect. And here suddenly there's a commission there looking into the same people. They just like do a little charade, boom, 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 so you don't really notice it. And then there's something happened over there, same people. And most of the time, I would say that these people are connected to the Freemasonic network. So their loyalty is somewhere else than for the
right. 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 Yes, that's absolutely right. So it just goes on and on and on. And then, some people keep questioning and asking, and it's going to be more of the same. It's not going to change. So you can't expect to see change in a system that's redactive. It's supporting itself on many different levels. So if you take out a piece, it's not going to fall apart. There are other pieces that come in and hold up the structure of what they're doing. So it's very difficult to take that apart and actually come up with something. The whole thing has to be examined as a totality. And we're in it, and we can't see it because it's so pervasive.
It really is. This has been going on for a long, long time, and they're very skilled at this design and so on, and deception. And I heard somebody a while ago said, when it comes to you and your country, the only way you can believe the American dream is to be asleep.
Right.
You really have to be asleep not to see what's going on, because once you start seeing that, it's really, you have to be not very clever when you start looking at the evidence to believe it. Because, for instance, before the plane is said to have hit Pentagon, not one single pilot have been able to copy the movement with the plane. The whole plane would have been pulled apart with the speed that it was said to have had. You can't even do it in one of these simulators. Mm-hmm. That was done by somebody who didn't know how to fly a plane. But in the car that was parked, they found on the parking lot outside this small little airport, there was a VHS cassette about how to fly one of these big planes. So because he had watched this video, we're supposed to believe that he can do this maneuver that no one else in the whole world could copy. We're back to the magic bullet again.
Yes, right.
Then you have all of these calls made from the plane, where people have called on their cell phones to loved ones, introducing themselves with names and last name to their mother and so on. And this was at a time when you could not make phone calls at that altitude. I mean, what more do you need? That on its own should just pull the whole thing apart. It's
right,
impossible.
Right.
And that's just two of thousands of details that shows you we are being lied to.
Right, right. And the lies are so, well, the thing is, everything is a lie, so you can't tell if there's any truth that comes out of a politician's mouth, for one thing. And then it's such a huge smokescreen, and everything protects everything else. So, like for instance, when the Twin Towers came down, everything was dustified. The whole building turned to dust, including the columns and everything that was made to withstand earthquakes, and yet they found, the three-letter agencies found, documentation on the people who supposedly flew the planes, intact on the ground. Now, how is that possible?
But like I said, when they follow the same template, this is one of the things. They always find a driver's license, a passport, an ID. And they did that in Berlin as well. They did it at Charlie Hebdo, that shooting. They found the ID in the car that had been abandoned by these two terrorists after the Charlie Hebdo shooting. Turned out that it was not even the same year model of the car, not the same vehicle, but that's where they found the ID, and that then tracked them down to getting the real terrorist. And here we're being told the same. This guy that is said to have driven the truck and killing all of these people, his ID was found in the truck. But this is a guy who came as a refugee years before to Germany, did without papers, so they didn't know who he was. Then while he was being investigated, he started doing criminal, on a low scale, criminal activities. So he was put away for 4 years in German prison, they say. It's totally different to what normally would happen, that they would just have deported the guy. Here, they say he was 4 years in German prison. Then he came out, they still didn't know who he was. Then he was in multiple different countries with fake papers, they know. So they still don't know who he was. Uh-huh. And then they claim that his ID was there, so they in the truck, so they could ID him right away, even though they'd never been able to ID him before. And then they say that he had six different aliases as well. Then he escaped from the site and he traveled to three different countries, got stopped in Italy by the police, who just confronted him. He pulled a gun, they say, and they killed him. And right away they knew it was this guy with no ID. How is that possible? And also the idea was found under the seat in this Scania truck, but in that model, exact model, there are no opening, there are no, what do you call it, places where you can hide or put an ID in that truck under the seat where they say it was. Hmm. But that's, if I can just go into a few of these things around how they carry them out and if this was one of these things. They more or less always do it on a very specific day. It is connected to a holiday or like Halloween or Valentine's or
yes.
Memorial Day or you know, Veterans Day or something very specific. And also the location is very important. It's very, very often carried out in a specific location where it has some big meaning behind it, you know, like the Eiffel Tower or for instance, in France, when that truck hit was there, that was on the Bastille Day. That's the most important, like 4th of July type of day in France. You had many different ones where it's on a very symbolic location. Here we had the truck stopped right in front of Kaiser Wilhelm's Memorial Church, which is a symbol from the Second World War.
Uh-huh.
It's like a ruin that is left. That's the only thing from the Second World War that is still there, because Berlin was just bombed into gravel. But this church tower was still there, and they left that there. And this, so many of the photos of this truck is right in front of this church.
Okay. Wow.
Then, so many of the photos taken of the truck in front of that church, you will see that the time on the clock of the church tower is 9/11, which
yeah.
also they have all of these numbers that keep repeating the three. And 9/11, 3/3, 6/6/6, 7/7/7, they keep repeating all the time.
And isn't it,
you have that, this truck is set to have come in about 40 miles an hour, gone straight into a Christmas market, killed 12 people, and wounded some 50 other people, then came to a full stop, only like 100 yards down the road inside the Christmas market, where it came, sort of it entered out on the left-hand side. So the truck stopped out in the main street itself, and then you had the whole trailer, the back of the truck was against where there are lots of debris and stuff like that. So when you look at it to start with, it looks like, oh my God, this is horrible. But you have, there was a photographer, a German journalist. There are always these people from media that are being interviewed right away. He came 90 seconds after it happened and was walking around exactly where the truck had gone, supposedly where it had killed 12 people and wounded some 50 other people. He's walking there 90 seconds after it's happened, totally calm. There's like three people that are sitting down, being taken care of, no blood. There's no screaming, no moaning, no nothing. And then he walks up, the truck is there. There's a couple of old ladies with their handbags walking by. People are just, there's no panic. And since there's only three people visible, when he walks the whole stretch where the truck is said to have gone, there must be like at least some 60 people underneath the truck.
Hmm.
But you have nobody trying to help them. You have nobody, there's no screaming, no sounds, no nothing.
Wow.
And then you have, when the camera turns around, pans around, you see there are four people that are holding off the traffic in this lane. You will also see that people around, there was especially one owner of a cafe, he said that he didn't understand what happened because he thought that the truck reversed into position, which is exactly what it did. Because there, the holes, along the whole street where this happened, there are these metal poles, you know, that to stop people from parking or entering. I mean, they are heavy duty, and you do not just, you know, knock them over. Here, the truck is said to have crossed at least one of them, passed across at least one of them, and it's standing intact right behind the truck, the middle of the, more or less the center of the truck, right behind it, without having been knocked over. There's no damage to the front of the truck. There's no blood on the front of the truck. There's no nothing. And all the debris is on the side of the truck, nothing under. There are no pools of blood. There's no skid marks. There are no tire tracks. Even though he said that he came in 40 kilometers, made an absolute impossible turn with a truck like that. It's a 90 degrees first right and then left right away. You can't do it. But here we're just supposed to buy it. And then, I'm sorry if I'm ranting on, but then following the template, CNN, BBC were there before the local media was even there.
And then
all the people interview had some kind of connection with media. Had one from Google, her name was Chandana Durrani, and another one was Emma Rushton from England, both of them media people. Then you have the German journalist who was filming. Then BBC and CNN was there almost before it happened. And the ambulances, according to the German president, he was surprised because they were there before the alarm went off, before the alert went off. Go figure. And then, can just go on and on, but I tell you, when you look at it, it does not match up with what we're told at all. At all. And then, just by coincidence, you had the Israeli terror expert in the world, professor in politics and terrorism, Shlomo Shapiro. He's appeared many places in German media and so on. He was at this Christmas market within the exact 100 meters where it happened.
Wow.
He was there to do research in Berlin. What kind of research? I don't know, but he was there. And then he got a bit cold. He had some food. And then he took the bus home. And he was just leaving the whole place when he started hearing the sirens of this. And then when he got back to his hotel room, his phone started ringing from all over the world. People wanted to know about these things. What are the chances? When you have Mossad so, so present in these things, like, I'm sorry, please, Lance, interrupt me. It's just I get going with these things.
Oh, no, it's interesting.
Okay, in that case, when the Nice truck was filmed, I don't know if you saw that in the States. You see there's somebody standing on the balcony of a hotel, and he films this truck that comes, and then suddenly you see it accelerate and go. You can't see it hit anyone. It disappears behind the palm trees. But you get the idea that that is where the attack started, and he started massacring all of these victims. Then the whole slaughter thing stopped right outside one of the main casinos where the police shot the driver. They say you never see that, but you see the police stand around shooting at the truck. And it's officially said to be 1.2 miles where the stretch where he had been driving, killing all of these people. But when you compare, I found the exact balcony where this person was standing filming it, and that is Hotel Westminster. And when you compare, if you look on Google Map, the distance between that hotel and the casino where the whole thing ended, meaning from where this drama started to where it ended, it's about 215 yards, not 1.2 miles at all. Mm. So we're talking about a very, very short distance that has been controlled while this happened. Mm. So who did the filming? Once again, was it just a tourist? No, it was a German journalist. His name was Richard Gutjahr. And his wife, when you checked out, his wife is Einat Wilf, an Israeli woman who's a member of the Israeli Knesset and who was doing her military. She was a lieutenant for the Mossad.
Oh, my God. So
And then, right after that, a few days later, there was this attack in München. And who was filming that? Richard Gutjahr. And who was one of the people being interviewed by international media? His daughter.
Wow.
Do Do you see what I'm saying? We're living in a small little group that are just traveling around.
Yeah.
Do you know when?
Yeah.
Do you know the Charlie Hebdo shooting when it said that this police officer was rolling around on the pavement and there were these two terrorists that went up and killed him with an AK-47 with a headshot.
Ugh.
By the way, this police officer did not die at all. He's doing fine. He now lives in Buenos Aires. He was paid $666,000 according to inside sources and is not allowed to come back to France for another 6 years. Anyway, but who did that filming? Who did that filming? It was in central Paris. So who would you think filmed it? Would it be a Parisian guy or maybe a tourist or something? No, it was the deputy editor of one of the main TV channels in Israel.
Oh.
What chances? And why do you start filming before the shooting starts?
Right. Good question.
This is the whole thing you have to ask yourself when you see these things happen. Who is filming? Just because it's shaky filming doesn't mean that it's real. And also, how come that it's always so blurry? Why is the video footage from these events always so blurry? Nowadays, with these with the cell phones and the cameras, I mean, it's HD quality. I mean, God, you had to be brain dead to be able to get a blurry or have a special app.
right.
And here you will see in Paris and in Berlin and all of these places, the camera is almost always turned downwards and it's very dark, it's blurry. You cannot figure, you can't see any facial structure, you can't see really any details so you can recognize anything. And these type of things. I had a friend who went in Berlin. I'm in a very fortunate position because I've got people all over the world who are now supporting or trying to help in what I'm trying to accomplish. So anywhere things like this happen, I can just contact them and say, please, can you go to that place, take a photo from that angle, and so that I can compare to the official footage and so on, if I can't manage to get there on my own. And he went there a few days after, went to the same Christmas market, the same time of day of night, the lighting was fine. His footage, super sharp, the lighting was fine. And also, there was a long strings of light bulbs that was sort of like over this passage where all the people were walking, where the truck entered and killed all these people. But after the truck had been there and done all of this horrific damage, they say, the lighting was still there. But the lighting is hanging very much lower than the height of the truck. The truck itself should have just deleted or just ripped the whole thing down.
Wow.
Farmer Brown logic.
Wow. It's also interesting, too, that after the fact, that many people find hints and clues that are pretty obvious in the strangest of places. And one of the consistent places that they find clues about these things happens to be in cartoons. The one with... Oh, what's his name? The one about the cartoon with Mr. Smith is running the corporation, and it's one of the adult cartoons that it plays on our television over here, and they're consistently
the Simpsons keep having these type of things.
So they're consistently releasing all kinds of information about time and date and what's going to happen. And, these things are foreseen somehow or foreplanned. And, the Illuminati card game, if you look that up on the internet, has recorded, it's a game that's to be played. And I think it was designed in the 80s. And yet it covers, disasters that have all happened since the game was first invented. So somebody had to know in advance that there were going to be twin towers that came down, that there was going to be a nuclear incident. All of those things are recorded in the Illuminati game. So somebody knows, and who's not to say that prophecies and predictions are not actually all just basically plans on the drawing board that are simply recorded so that humanity goes in a certain direction. Because once you set a prophecy out into the world, then it affects the direction of the timeline that things are going into.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you mentioned this Illuminati card game. I think it's very, very interesting because there's so many of these events, including the Boston bombing and many, many others, that have the cards are almost identical to when the event takes place. And the alleged assassination of the Russian ambassador, that guy that killed him in front of the ambassador was standing giving a speech at an art gallery, and then this guy dressed like James Bond more or less goes up behind and kills him, they say. Anyway, there is a card in that pack called the Teflon card. Teflon coating. And it is very, very similar to what it looks there. Mm. And then a card was released a few days after that event when it seemed like it didn't really work. And that card is called Backlash, which is identical to the first one, but where it looks like something bloody backfired in the face of this guy. So
wow.
And this the last edition was made in 1995 of these card games. So this is way before all of these things.
Oh yeah,
happened.
Yeah. So how was that done?
Another. But it's by design and a timeline that is there. And
yeah.
Chip Tate, my friend from the CIA, he says that the timeline they have is very tight, and very specific, and so many different events depend on that they carry out these operations successfully.
Yeah.
So he says that every time we can mess it up for them, it can just delay the whole thing for months and months. and that's what I say, let's keep messing it up for them. That's my plan.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. How do we mess it up? I mean, one thing I know for a fact that does mess things up is when we remove our consent to these things happening.
Yep, that is very, very important because they need our consent. Why that is, there are different theories, but for sure they need our consent, and that is why they put it out there to us first, and if
yes.
we do not act, then it's okay for them to move ahead.
Yep.
So remove the consent totally. That is super, super important.
Yes, yes. In fact,
but when it comes to what we can do with these false flag crap operation that keeps appearing everywhere, one of the things to look out for is that it's almost always before this takes place, there is a drill on location.
Yes.
That is being pumped out in media, in local media, saying, tomorrow we're going to have a security drill for your security in that school or in that subway or there, there, there. And the reason for these drills, not always, but many times, is to be able to get vehicles in position, crisis actors in position, all the gear, all of these things in position so that we will not notice or interfere. And then also, this drill will be there so that they can repeat the whole thing and rehearse
yes.
the whole thing so that they can get everything working before it's time to do the shoot itself,
yep.
really, the shoot. And so what I suggest, when people see and hear about one of these drills coming to anywhere near where you are, is the day before and the day it's supposed to happen. Go down there, bring friends, bring family with cameras,
yes.
and film them while they set the whole thing up.
Absolutely.
Because the thing, all of these individuals and these operations, the thing they fear is the light,
yes.
to be exposed.
Yep.
They can only function in the dark, in the obscure. So
yep.
And the idea I would suggest is because once you start filming them, make it very obvious that they're being filmed. Don't lie and hide around. Make it very obvious that you are aiming cameras at them.
Yeah.
That will make them very uneasy if they're up to something not nice.
Yeah.
And nowadays there are beautiful apps. I think one is called Bamboozle that can make it possible for you to upload a live stream on YouTube within seconds. So if somebody in aggressive person approaches you when you're standing there filming them, or a police officer that, or somebody that looks like a police officer approaches you in an aggressive way, then just tell them, please, Mr. Officer, before you start considering hitting me in the head with something hard, you are being filmed and it's on YouTube now.
Right.
That normally has a very calming effect, and often I would say the chances of stopping these acts are big if we expose them beforehand. So instead of always being one step behind, let's be one step ahead and stop this madness.
Yes, absolutely. And that's where we can participate and we can stop them. We have to take action. If we don't like these things going on in our world, and I don't imagine anybody really does care for these terror events to happen, we should be living in a world that's free of all of that. This is not a natural event. If we removed all of the false flags and the corruption and the manipulation and distortion, this would be one of the most peaceful, beautiful, lush green planets in the universe.
I can totally agree, and I tell you, it already is in many ways, because we think we're living in this horror place filled with terrorism and violence and all of it. It's not real.
Yeah, right.
After all of these years, I don't know if I've encountered a real terrorist ever.
Right.
Not the way they're being portrayed to us, you know, with the balaclava and the black. Look at nowadays, the SWAT teams and the police officers, they dress like the terrorists, and they're also the ones carrying these things out most of the time. These people that comes with masks and balaclavas afterwards looking into it, it's the same people who have carried it out.
Right, so, right. And you know, it's really disgusting to hear on the radio that the broadcasters are talking about ISIS and this and that. And the America was, there's a group in America that started the group ISIS. It was called ISIS, and it was designed for international terrorism events. And it was up on the internet for a while, and it's gone now. But in addition to that, all of the guns and weapons and things that they use are supplied by the United States and some of the other countries. So it's a global cooperation to create these groups. And the heads of our countries work with other heads of countries to sponsor these things so that they can have a certain effect to get a desired result. And we are heavily involved in that. So, you know, when we place blame on some terrorist group, that's exactly what our government wants us to do. They want us to think that it's someone else, and that's the whole essence of a false flag. It is blaming a flag that is false, when in reality it is our flag flying that is doing it and sponsoring these things.
Did you notice that ISIS just appeared out of nowhere and suddenly was the biggest threat the world had ever seen?
Oh, did yeah. Amazing. One goes down and another one comes up.
Yeah, but once again, if you look into these things, just like you say, Al-Qaeda came first. It's different names of the same boogeyman.
Right.
They need us to be fearful, so they need an outer enemy that will say boo. That's the thing. If we get tired, if we don't buy it after a while, when we've heard Al-Qaeda too many times, then they need to upgrade it. So in came ISIS. Then they started changing the names. So it was ISIL or IC to make people confused. That's the whole thing. To keep the fear mongering, keep the fear level high.
Yep.
But ISIS is totally a construction from your sweet country and Saudi and Israel. That's
yes.
it. They're
yes. Absolutely.
Creating it, funding it, supplying it, and all of these beheadings, I mean, more or less all of it is in front of green screen things. Absolute crap. You can never tell where are they. They're out in some gravel, heap of gravel and blue sky behind them.
Yeah.
Never locations that you can say, they're in Baghdad. They're in Paris.
Right.
No, so you can't identify it. And then sponsored by Toyota, there are always Toyota cars in it. If there's a vehicle in an image that has anything to do with ISIS, it's a Toyota.
Interesting.
We're speaking product placement now, and that is also one thing that keeps repeating all over the time.
Huh. Wow, interesting. Well, you know, Ole, we've almost come to the end of the show, it's always so interesting talking to you that the show goes really fast. I want to thank you for coming back and sharing your wealth of knowledge and information with us. And if there's anything that you'd like us to know that you're going to be at, or if you want to mention your books or your website now, this would be a good time to do it.
Okay. I would say if anyone believes in what I'm trying to do, please, I've got donation buttons on my website, lightonconspiracies.com. I'm a one-man band, totally self-funded and so on, with a family to feed, so extremely appreciated. You can also on my website find there's a web shop with all my different books and so on. And if it's okay with you, Lance, I would very much like to finish this with a prayer.
Oh, yes, please do.
I'm not a religious person, but I love this prayer. It goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light. The thing is, we all need to heal. They need to heal as well. Otherwise, this madness will just go on and on and on. And we need
right.
to do it in a non-violent way. That is
right.
so important.
Right.
The intention, our intention of how to solve this is extremely important. And I say nonviolence, compassion. That's the way forward.
Absolutely right. Wow. Well, Ole, I just admire what you're doing and love your work. And people support Ole's work because, the wrong things, corporations support everything that's bad. And they get billions of dollars to do bad things, and some lone person is out there doing wonderful research and trying to help us become aware, and they need some funding. So this is a good place to fund, and Ole could use the help. So I just want you to know I appreciate what you do, and keep up the good work, and we'll probably talk again soon.
Anytime you want me.
Oh, good. Wonderful, Ole. Thank you so much.